Hello, Potters and non-Potters. Welcome to episode 130 of Cospod, the podcast for all things cosplay. Hey, we do get new audience members periodically.
Except when it comes over to Val scratching her nose and then Amber laughs and then we all have a good time and then people start leaving immediately.
Given what has happened over the past month, we could use a good laugh. Such banal humor as, like, nose rubbing.
Right?
I mean, I'm not a fan of bathroom humor and potty humor, but sometimes you just have to take what you can get.
And sometimes if it's done well, it can be very classy, as weird as that sounds.
South Park.
South Park has actually been really on point this year. It's not just because they're doing political stuff, but the way they've changed up their episode format has been more, you know, you have to kind of watch the entire season because the story plays along throughout the season. It's not just one episode of 24 minutes and you're done. And it took away a good chunk of that bathroom humor and really interjected into other realms. So it's gotten to a level that I didn't expect for it to grow, but it's still really flipping funny.
Plus, it's starting to enter cosplay as people are actually starting to take wordplay and crossover series and memes effectively from series, and they're actually turning them into cosplay. I think Stranger Things was one of the more recent ones that I keep seeing people turn into cosplay. But I'm all for it. I am all for clever cosplay.
It's way more fun.
Somebody was wearing a sign around their neck that just said, "I'm really Mystique." And I was like, props.
Smart. Okay.
I got
be
it.
Comfy We're casual.
There is something seriously to be said, you guys, for comfy casual cosplay.
Yeah.
I mean, you may think that cosplay is for the attention. We get it. As you kind of get up there in life, you find that you value comfort a lot more. Because when you're younger, you don't really care very much about having to walk around for 8 hours in heels and body paint and latex. For the pictures, it's for the fans, you know, it's for the attention. We're gonna have a good time, and yeah, we're gonna pay for it later, but hey, it was all worth it,
right? Yeah, not so much now. Now
about
it's like
10 years after that, you're kind of like, yeah, I'm only gonna do about 2 hours in heels, we're only gonna do body paint down to the neck, and everything else is a bodysuit. We're gonna do, you know, casual clothing, no more armor, we're gonna do a lot more just tights. Just to make sure that everything is covered, everything is secure, and you just keep the makeup really simple too. And then you only end up in that cosplay for maybe 2 or 3 hours at most, and then either you're changing into another cosplay that is even more casual than the one you just took off, or you just take cosplay off entirely and go around in casual clothes like jeans and t-shirt. And that's it. That's your day of cosplay. And you're looking at these anime convention forums where you can tell the younger people, they're like, is 7 or 8 cosplays too much for a convention? And then you look at their schedule and they've got 2 or 3 costumes every day. And the more veteran, the older, more seasoned cosplayers are sitting there looking at that going, man, I've only got 1 cosplay a day, if that. It's only for half the day. And the rest of the day, I'm in just convention t-shirt and pants, maybe.
Yeah, it's like we want to do our thing, we want to show off for a couple hours, but then we're like, okay, I'm done with that, I'm ready to actually enjoy the rest of the convention experience and not have to worry about my costume or what I'm eating or having to use the bathroom. I just want to walk around and do my thing. Like, I don't care about the fanciness any longer. That's what age will do to you, kids.
Plus, at that point we figure, okay, if I want fancy pictures taken of my fancy, I'll just go get a photo shoot done.
Exactly.
And not have to worry about the atmosphere of a convention getting interrupted, having the whole spat about taking pictures without asking, dealing with eating and etiquette and all that. We just don't want to deal. It's not that we lack the stamina. It's that we just don't have the patience anymore to deal with. That we're just like, I'm just going to have fun. And if having fun means I'm out of costume, then so be it.
Right. It's just so much easier to handle. And at this point now, especially since nerdwear has become so much more casual lately, you could be out of costume, but still feel like you're a part of the community and still involved. You could still wear the cool, you know, Deadpool t-shirt and then the Ninja Turtle pants and whatever. And you're still rocking it like everybody else. So I think that's the nice thing too, is that you can go casual wear and still be a part of the crowd.
Because part of the reason that you put on the costume, at least certainly when you get older, is that you're just trying to, be part of the fandom. Say, hey, I'm into this too. Look, I was into this enough to make my own costume or purchase the costume because I want to be part of the group too. Which is fine. So you go there, you do your thing, you be part of the group, and then you're like, okay, I'm done.
I noticed that with PAX meetups, a lot of the people that were there weren't cosplayers. It was just people who happened to like said franchise, and they just wanted to hang out and talk shop and just talk about what they love about the game. And I was like, that to me, it was weird at me at first. But the more I thought about it, the more I'm like, you know what? A lot of cosplay gatherings that I go to nowadays are just like that. It's just people who want to hang out with other fans. And it's like, okay, I can roll with this. It's nice. It's comfy.
Yes, especially if you end up running a panel, being staff, doing volunteer work, anything where you have to move around constantly, comfort is key. If you're going to be in costume while doing it, having to sit in a panel in a really uncomfortable costume, especially if you end up having appendages that take up multiple seats on either side of you, it tends to piss people off, especially if you block their view. Just saying. Not that I've ever done that.
No, of course not.
I don't speak from experience.
We've never done that before, ever, ever.
All right. Well, now that we've had our fun being old
Yay.
and telling people to get off our lawn.
Off our lawns. I know, right?
Cosplay updates time.
Yay. Updates.
Mine are so tiny, and
Yeah, join
it's
the
holiday season isn't helping. Work this time of year is
Work.
really not helping.
Work is so not helping anybody anywhere.
Yeah.
Weather, not helping.
Yeah. We'll get to the weather in a second. I have started patterning for Soraka. It's not going quite as well as I had planned, simply because even with a dress form, or even a duct tape dummy, if you change size at all, then you have to change your pattern. And I'm just not as good at drafting as Val is, simply because the only way I could realistically do it is to draft on myself. And I'm just
Oh.
really not good at drafting on me. It would be easier if I was drafting on someone else or if someone else was drafting on me.
Right.
But it's kind of like braiding your own hair. I can do a regular braid. I don't French braid my own hair very well because I just can't do it on myself. I can do it on other people. So it's slow going. I'm not too happy with my progress, but what are you gonna Which sounds painful. So you can stick foam in it, except foam adds weight, so it may fall flat. You can use a ton of interfacing, but interfacing does eventually detach over time. You have to get the right kind of interfacing. And you have to make sure it's washable because, oh, heaven help you if you have a costume you cannot wash. Then it's like a one or two time wear max. You can only Febreze so far, kids. And please, for the love of God, do not axe your costume.
God, oh no,
And
please
I
don't.
mean axe the body spray, not axe as an ask. No, the body spray. Do not body spray your costume.
You don't mean like axe, freak, freak, freak.
Well, if you didn't like your costume or had something really bad happen, I suppose you could, although unless the axe
Distressing.
was re well, if the axe is not sharp enough, it's not actually going to cut through the fabric anyway, so axing is going to be about as effective as beating it with a baseball bat.
Distressing.
There are other things that you can do to de-stress,
Oh
like
yeah.
lighting poi on fire.
No, I meant like
Anyway.
distressing the fabric. Like let's say that your costume
Oh,
needs to have like
de-stressing,
tear.
not de-stressing. That's okay. Yeah. Well, then again, given the weather lately, which holy mother of the cosplay divine, has it been cold?
Holy mother of pearl, it's freezing outside. Great.
It is literally freezing. It's cold for us. We realize we are not in the Northeast. We are not getting literally snowed under by a blizzard.
Not yet.
We are not in the northern Midwest states where it is literally below 0 degrees. We know. But for us, 22 degrees is actually the coldest it has been in Texas in the last 2 years. And because it is so cold, you'll notice both of us are wearing gloves
Yep, we're keeping it
and
real.
coats and such. Yes. Having cold hands makes it a little harder to work on cosplay. Especially if you're doing things that require dexterity, like, say, if you're doing a sketch mock-up and you have to have detailed drawings, or if you're hand sewing, if you're even to an extent, if you're using a sewing machine and having to guide the fabric with your hands. Anything that requires dexterity is just a lot harder for us right now. It's supposed to be back up into the 70s on Sunday, so hopefully I can just take that day and get a bunch of stuff done while it's still warm before the next cold front comes through.
Which will be again like Wednesday or Thursday. So it's
I
like,
know.
great, yeah. Can't win.
It's one of those times, though, because whenever you do things that are very environmentally aware, like resin casting or any kind of molding and casting, paint, even sanding to an extent, you can't really do it at the temperature extremes. Because if it's too cold or too hot, it doesn't set properly, it remains tacky, it loses flexibility, chemical reactions happen faster or slower, whatever. You have to have like these optimal temperatures and humidities to be able to do these things. So then you can't do it when it's cold and like 19% humidity outside.
That's my problem this week.
It's like, oh, man. And some of those things you can't really do indoors, or at least you shouldn't do them
There
indoors.
we go. Disclaimer, you
Like,
shouldn't do it.
yes, there are some things like if you have a painting booth, then you can do the painting indoors as long as you have good management of your fumes. You have to have a fume exfiltrator to make sure it gets out of your house. Resin casting, you really can't do indoors because fumes. Likewise, please, for the love of all that is holy, do not. Yeah. It doesn't smell. For about 48 hours, it doesn't smell good. Oh, and you have to make sure that it doesn't mysteriously fall over and get on your curtains.
Amber has no
Sad.
experience with this.
These are new curtains. These do not have the resin stain in them. The resin stain curtains are sitting right there.
Nice.
Yeah.
You live, you learn.
Yeah. Anyway.
I guess for my cosplay updates, I don't really have a whole lot to talk about just because the weather this week kind of screwed me over and I've just been really, really busy with work. It's mostly been a lot of pattern making. I have a ton of patterns I have to make from scratch this time around. Because it's all new things that I haven't worked with before, and people of the Ruby community suck at not posting patterns. So I'm making my own. Amber laughs at me because it's true.
I
And
sent you a pattern.
it's okay. I mean, let's be honest, I'm not going to use it. I'm going to still make
You
my
know you're
own.
not going to use it.
I did make my own. I know, right? And I also decided earlier on this week that I am going to make an Overwatch costume and try to get it done in time for PAX South. Could totally make this happen. I have lots of faith in this. And it's going to be my very first gender bend too, so that'll be interesting and weird. But I'm not going to do, here's my thing with gender bends is that if you want to do them, fine, cool. Those who know me very well know that I don't like to be very showy in certain areas that gender bends typically on women show off. So I'm going to be making some modifications and alterations. Mostly it's going to be the costume's going to fit me very well. It's not going to be out and about and me busting. And just making little tweaks and little changes, but it's going to stay pretty true to the character, changing up the hairstyle dramatically, but it's going to be very feminine versus the masculine cut that he's got. So it'll be an interesting challenge. I'm looking forward to it. Mostly the big thing is that he has this mask on his face, and I was going to work on it this week until it got butt cold outside. We're going to be modeling it. I'm working on the clay version of it first. We're going to cast it, mold it, and it's going to be made out of a polyurethane rubber. And the plan is it's going to hook over my ear. So that way I have the ability to take it on and off as much as I need to. I don't have to worry about straps, no mess, no fuss. Plus the fact that it's going to be so flexible, it'll move really well with my face. So that'll be a fun experiment, and I'll make sure I take photos along the way, because that's going to be so cool to do. I haven't worked with this material before. It's like I know the process of casting it, but just not with this material. And it's the same as everything else. It's just different output. So instead of having a soft mold, this is going to have to be a hard mold. I haven't done a hard mold in a while, so that'll be fun making the plaster for that mess again. Ugh. But again, weather. I would have already had it like molded, ready to go, and just needing to like cut off all the excess crap, but why does it have to be so cold outside? It's not fair. I only have a month. Stop it, weather.
And actually, this time of year, for us in the Northern Hemisphere at least, we know that there are those in the Southern Hemisphere for whom it is very warm right now, or at least warming
Right?
up. So this is a good time of year to actually make patterns. Because pattern making doesn't require too much in the way of supplies. You can do it pretty much anywhere, in any temperature, in any humidity, as long as it's not directly raining on you.
Right.
And they'll end up being something that you use over and over again. If they are slopers, say for you, or if they're prop making patterns, you can always post them on the web so other people can use them. And if you feel uncomfortable drafting them on your, take this time of year during which there are many, many sales, and you can go and purchase yourself a pattern making book, or you can just directly purchase patterns from a whole bevy of pattern makers. I think even Punished Props and Kamui were running sales on a lot of their stuff recently too. And Vulpin's got blueprints up for sale on his store too. So, tis the season. Make the best of it. Do what you can.
Gotta make a pattern for the stupid weapon. I'm not looking forward to that at all. I'm having a friend help me on this one too, because we all know I suck at making props. I'm not ashamed to admit this. But part of the process is that we're 3D modeling it and I can do it, but oh my God, I'm already tired of it. I'm just like, can it be done? Can I just close my eyes and it'll magically be there, ready and ready to go? Like, I don't have to worry about it anymore.
Just wait till I have to make Milo and Aquo.
You have fun with that.
I've already been mulling it over in my head. I already know how to make it transform. Or at least
Transformers.
pseudo transform.
We'll be a robot in disguise.
Not quite.
We'll be more than meets the
It will be ashes in disguise.
eye. There's your sing along. Enjoy.
Anyways.
Yeah. No more cosplay updates. Amber's making a face at me. Yeah, she's making a face at me.
Right, so on to our main topic. MSI using doctored images? Would you like to
I guess I
introduce this
intro
one?
this, yeah. Which is depressing because I'm like, hey, my laptop's MSI. Guess what I'm running everything off of right now? So this popped up on Kotaku earlier this week. A couple of years ago, MSI, which is a computer company, used an image of a cosplayer in the Rosie the Riveter kind of stance and pose. She was in that costume. They photoshopped it poorly. And they ran it as an advertisement on a couple of websites, and it was shared like 45,000 times on Twitter. But within a couple of days of them posting it, they had to pull it down because the cosplayer came out and said, "Hey, we didn't promote the use of this image. It needs to be removed." So they removed it. And recently, the cosplayer and the photographer have filed a lawsuit against MSI saying that it was improperly used. They didn't ask for permission. They didn't pay either. You know, the photographer or the cosplayer. I like MSI's response though, is that they don't acknowledge that the case is going on because they didn't realize that they did something wrong. Which is dumb. It's the worst defense ever. I'm hoping that they have a lawyer to change it. But it brought up an interesting argument because the Rosie the Riveter character and all of that content is public domain. So anybody can use it at any time for any reason without having to pay for it. So would this cosplayer being in that pose mimicking Rosie the Riveter is that considered fair use? Or do the people actually need to get permission to use that content? And
See,
the outcome of
here's.
this case can be very, very finicky, and that could change a lot of things.
See, here's the thing, because in a way it kind of mimics how Creative Commons and fair use itself end up being discussed, which is that if you do a derivative of a work and it is for, whatever the four purposes are, educational purposes, parody, et cetera, historical representation, if you use it for that, it is considered fair use. So, in a way, cosplay is kind of characters. It's not necessarily meant for amusement parody, but they're mimicking, basically, for the purposes of trying to get attention and or discussion about characters. In that way, it's kind of fair use, but then again, fair use and Creative Commons both basically expect that you're not making money off of it,
Right.
because that's considered commercial usage, which has its own completely separate definition, both for fair use and for Creative Commons. Commercial, actually, you have to do extra things if you're doing it for that reason. So I would think that if it's just for that, it's fine. Not so sure about MSI's usage of it, simply because if it was just to put up the image for the sake of parody or educational use or whatever, okay. Because they are using for marketing, for the purposes of making money, that's different. And I think they're going to lose because of that, because this is for commercial use. Plus, MSI is a commercial entity. Now, if she were selling prints of Rosie the Riveter, the cosplayer, that's not fair use anymore. That's making money off of that, even though Rosie the Riveter is public domain.
And to be honest, I don't know if she is actually making money off of this. I know that initially the photograph was taken to be used for a charity calendar.
Okay. Which, even that kind of has its own connotations of being not in profit. So we know for sure that it's not for profit, at the very least. So, yeah, I can see that. I think there's a really large discussion still going on in the community about whether cosplayer photos in general are considered fair use if they're posted on the internet. And that's why we have so many photographers putting watermarks on them still. And they're having to get really creative about their watermarks because people are still removing the watermarks and trying to pass off the photos as their own, especially where it comes to manufacturers trying to sell cosplay. People will take a cosplayer's professional photo of a certain cosplay, and then the company will make a knockoff of it and try and represent that cosplayer as, hey, here's the costume you're going to buy. Here's what it looks like. I've always had issues with that.
Yeah, that's
Like,
always
if you're going to
tricky.
sell that, then you need to put up an actual image of what you're actually getting. Like, mock it up and put it on a dress form and take a picture of that. I don't care how unglamorous it looks. It needs to be truthful if you're doing it for advertising, especially.
And even though cosplay kind of is a business just spinning off of that, it's so easy and to be known by the community as the person who, has stolen photos or the person who doesn't produce the cosplay that matches the images. If you don't actually put out there the product that you do make, you're going to get called out for it and you're going to lose business and you won't be able to do any type of that work ever again. But
Plus, it
yeah.
makes the community a little more leery of putting up photos in the first place if you're afraid it's going to be stolen. Especially if it's by a company who's trying to make money.
And if it's hard to see this, but I mean, I see more of these come up with photographers as they now have their own like fair use laws and fair use agreements that you actually have to sign before the photo shoot that says, this is what I'm going to do with the photos. This is what you're not allowed to do. If you post the photo, you also have to link back to my page. I mean, that's a big thing too now is it's not just about, oh, hey, I made this cosplay in this photo. It's I made the cosplay, someone else modeled it, someone else photographed it. I mean, you got to list out all the details now because people will start clamoring over you saying, hey, you got to give everybody credit where credit's due. So it gets really sticky, and the more this goes on.
It's one of those times when I know that the saying goes that it's easier to ask forgiveness than to ask permission. This is one of those times when I'm going to say, don't. Don't do that. It's really easy to ask these guys if you can use their photos, if you can photo manipulate them. Some of them will actually be really happy to let you photo manipulate, especially if you're putting special effects into it. And then basically just posting it up as, hey, this is really cool. That generally doesn't cause too much trouble. If you're trying to do it for commercial purposes, definitely should ask. I'm not even going to get into the whole asking permission when taking photos thing. That's a separate thing. No, don't even start with that. That's a separate drama. This is just for photos that have already been taken. It's so much easier just to ask. And in this age of internet anonymity and people doing whatever they want, yeah, it's actually much better for your reputation to be honorable about it.
Especially for cosplay photos. It's just it because it's not just the photographer involved. You got the photographer, you've got the cosplayer, and there may even be a third person involved. You've got the person who actually made the costume or made the masks and the props. You could have multiple people involved that you're offending and hitting on that you need to get. I mean, yes, it does take more steps to get the permission for it. It's so much better to get that permission than to royally screw up in the end, because then nobody's going to trust you or want to work with you ever again.
And what's worse is that cosplayers tend to be what's the really good way of saying this? They're very particular about how cosplay is represented in the media, and they may actually boycott you if they find out that you're doing this, and that when you give an answer like, the company lacks knowledge or information sufficient to form a belief about the truth of the allegations and therefore denies them, and that their use of the image constituted fair use. When you give that kind of response, cosplayers are not going to take kindly to that because you're basically throwing it in their face. So, definitely, if you're going to try and pull that off, you probably don't want to respond that way.
Yeah, my poor computer. I feel bad now for having this thing, and it's such a great little laptop. I've had this for almost 3 years. I've never had a problem with it. I would totally recommend MSI, but they're kind of being a little douchey right
I
now.
will say that gaming companies that work with cosplayers, I will single out Blizzard because they're really good about working with cosplayers. Those kind of companies tend to get additional business from cosplayers.
Oh, yeah.
Companies that exploit cosplayers like this, cosplayers aren't ever going to want to work with you again, even if you wanted to legitimately have their help in making your ads. Now they're going to look at this and go, well, you stiffed her. What makes you think that I'm going to trust you not to stiff me?
Exactly. Because we're very vocal when something goes wrong. We're not afraid to
And
say it.
news travels fast in the community.
Again, small,
Really
tight-knit
fast.
community, everybody knows.
And if they don't know now, they will by tomorrow.
Exactly. It's the joy of the community and the internet. So
That
I'm
was
gonna
awesome.
be yeah, I'm gonna be watching this case just because it piques so much of my interest, and I'm just curious to see what the outcome is, because this could potentially affect other things like video games and how those are advertised and what type of content is allowed in those games. And what's considered quote unquote fair use if it's going to be used for commercial purposes. So it's got a lot of implications if MSI does win. Not very
I
good
get that.
implications.
I get that marketing budgets can be really small, but seriously, you can pay a cosplayer like $100 to take a couple of photos like that. And
They would probably be
just,
flipping out.
yeah. Especially if they knew that it was, going to get their name out, as long as you give them credit.
Yeah. Heck, I did that before with Turtle Beach. It happened at PAX South last year. There was a guy walking around. He had some headsets. He wanted a couple of cosplayers to model with it. he gave us a small check for it right on the spot, and we just had to sign a waiver. And, you know, he told us exactly what they're going to be used for, so we knew there wasn't anything inappropriate. And, I mean, it was just 5 minutes, got a couple of photos out of it, and it was fun. Done. No problem. I have no problems with that whatsoever, people, but it just, all you have to do is ask. Now, if they had just given me the headset and been like, hey, can you just take a couple photos, gave me no other idea of what was going on, I'd probably raise my hand and say, excuse me, why am I wearing a headset on this costume? It makes no sense. I'm from a fantasy land.
Or worse, they may think you're a creeper, like the guys who walk up and say, hey, can you take a photo with my friend? And then said friend something lewd.
Yeah, exactly. And you're just like, really? No. Yeah. No.
You don't ever want to be in that position.
No. It's always better to ask, especially just in this environment in general. Just ask. Please just ask.
Yeah. For women, it's kind of doubly bad just because of how photos tend to be used.
Mm-hmm. Yay.
I just randomly had a bubble fall from the ceiling and I have no idea why.
Oh, well, there you go.
That was weird.
That's your magic for the day. Enjoy.
I must be losing it.
Probably. Join the club. I'm trying really hard to not fall asleep because it's been that kind of day.
All right. Well, next up for you guys, we actually have one of our correspondents, which you guys have not seen for a while, or whom you guys have not seen for a while, to do a BlizzCon review. So we're going to turn it over to Catherine. Enjoy.
All right, Potters. You may remember Catherine, who has been a correspondent of ours, and she went to BlizzCon. Makes us all a little bit jealous. Say hi, Catherine.
Hi, Catherine. How's it going, guys?
And we've posted one of her photos from BlizzCon where she was actually in costume. She has finally found the time to sit down with us to actually go over her entire experience and tell us more about the greatness that is BlizzCon now that it's come into this full circle and it's this huge cosplay convention on top of being a gaming convention. So, you know what, let's jump right on into it. First impressions, go.
You know, the biggest thing I took away from the BlizzCon and just the community there was how comfortable everybody was with the idea of cosplay as just being a natural part of the community. Everybody was doing it, basically. It was really common. Even in the when I was sitting down for the costume contest, so many people in the audience were dressed up. I was so surprised. Why aren't they on stage? You know, they were at least having the parade at the end where you could show off if you wanted to. Excuse me. But it was just pervasive. It's just part of the community now. You're kind of expected as you know, a Blizzard fan particularly, doing what you do to express that fandom. I mean, it's not just a costume contest at BlizzCon anymore. It's a talent contest. It's an art contest. It's even a video contest. They had all of those as well. So it's really exciting to see such encouragement of just being creative through a medium that is just happens to be a video game company.
Now, did you get a chance to actually see that orc costume up close and personal, the one that won the contest?
Grommash, I believe it was. You know, yep. I had a great view from, I was lucky enough to be with my husband while he was there, so he had a press pass, and I got to get up on one of the handy-dandy little video taping stands.
Nice.
So I got a good eagle-eye view of it from there, but I'm afraid I didn't get a chance to get up close and personal. I was surprised, even though from where I was standing, the detail of just the facial cosmetics of the whole thing, which I wonder wasn't a large part, in addition to the detail of the costume, just how lifelike it was, like he stepped out of the movie. I believe even Thomas Middleditch even said that, like, did she just kind of teleport? I consistently impressed from the beginning to the end of the contest, so the beginning of the end of the weekend, really, with the caliber of people just walking around just to do it. And then just the range of, not experimentation isn't the word, but interpretation of the material of the characters that are there. A good example was I believe it was in like one of those like Disneyland blow up costumes. there is a cartoon that we love. Carbot is the company name, I think. And one of the characters from Heroes of the Storm, just little animated characters. It was Uther with his big old head and his little horse on a stick, and he galloped across the stage in his big blow up suit. It's great the way people interpret the things that people take away from the fandom, whether it's from another fan and then going down the chain of the experience. Or making a character into your own, whether or not. I mean, there were so many gender bends, for instance, and not even gender bends, just like, I'm a guy and I'm not going to hide that. I'm not going to try and dress up as a girl, but I love this girl character. I think there was a Zarya from Overwatch, the tank, a Zarya, not gender bend, but crossplay. I'm afraid I'm going to be getting those two terms mixed up, but it looks fabulous. And everybody just takes each their own. The comfort level is right there. Just so surprising how just natural is, like, that's awesome. I'm so glad. My one of my husband's favorite cosplays was I think was that one. And I think McCree also from Overwatch. We're huge Overwatch nerds, by the way.
Same.
Oh my gosh, it's so much fun. Anyway, I'm gonna scratch that itch tonight now that he's back. But
right.
But everybody's got a different interpretation. Everybody's gotten a different artistic experience, and everybody seems very encouraged to be able to express that in their own way with their own experience level. And all the work that you ladies do, and the rest of the community, for the most part, I see is trying to do is just like trying to lift people up in their own experience in life and their own creative experience and their own creative expression. And it made my little heart so happy to see just like all the love for, the games that I grew up with, for the characters that I love, for a craft and artistic expression that I love, from the music contest, which I gotta say, I'm kind of, my interest is kind of piqued because I kind of might want to get on the action next time. But from the talent contest to the art contest to the video contest, it's a great, I love how Blizzard encourages all modes of expression and use of its IPs, of its material. It's super encouraging and really makes the experience of playing the game even more fun. I can take that experience, that mode of thinking while I'm into the game and go and just kind of analyzing movements of characters and the flow of outfits and being able to take that away and go, how can I bring that to life? Which is something that I've always been interested in, even since I was a kid. Like, this exists in my brain, but how can I make it exist in front of me? And that's what BlizzCon, I guess, the BlizzCon creative parts of BlizzCon in a nutshell, really.
Yeah, I'm on the Overwatch train now. I'm actually working on a Soldier 76 costume.
Gender bend or oh, that's gonna be so great.
Yeah, it's gonna be a gender bend. I'm shooting to get it done by PAX South, so I've got like a month and a half to do it.
Is it the true 76, or you got a skin going on?
True 76. I'm loyal.
Awesome. That's gonna be great. Oh, I can't wait to see that whole face gear kind of thing. I'm interested to see how you tackle that.
Yeah, I actually have a friend of mine that I'll be working in conjunction with. We're gonna go with a polyurethane rubber, so that way it can better mold against my face. And it's gonna be attached to my ears, so that way I can just lift it on and off.
Ah, there you go. I like it. It's clever.
So it'll be an interesting experiment, and I've worked with it before, so I'm not too afraid of it. It's just mostly getting the visor and all that stuff done. That one's kind of making me go, maybe.
Well, we'll see how the first draft goes, and then we'll be able to make that second and final draft after that. So.
Exactly.
we'll be happy with it.
Right. So every year at BlizzCon, the one thing that always just astounds me is that the level of talent for cosplay just keeps getting better and better. And just when I think I'm like, oh my God, this is like the pinnacle of cosplay, people come back next year and do it even better than before. It's just impressive. Was seeing any of these costumes up close, did any of that feel intimidating, or were people really open and accepting and being like, no, if I can make it, you can totally make it. Here's how.
Oh, yeah. My, I'm going to talk about my husband again, but because he's the reason I got to go. So, oh, thank you. He actually got to interview. I don't know if you happened to catch this just massive construction, this contraption of I guess it was an Archon, one of the Protoss characters from StarCraft.
I think so. Yes.
This massive. You can see his arms hanging out, but he used gophers. I guess you can't see my hands. The gophers as how to manipulate the arms of this gigantic thing. He actually got an interview with this guy, and I believe it's available on WWG.com. I'll have to send you the link after. It's so great because he's got his little microphone sticking it in the hole of the costume, because the costume stands like 8 feet tall and this guy's like 5'5". and he just said he worked as a nursing student full time, I think is what it was.
Wow.
And he said in his free time, he was just kind of throwing stuff together and just kind of played around with a couple ideas and just like stacked foam on itself and cut it up into pieces and eventually came up with this light up smoke exploding just creation just by throwing together some ideas and it wasn't like a profession or anything and you know the ones that are professionals that have had the professional teams have their own garage, like they should have their own reality show like Junkyard Wars or something.
There we go.
But yeah, super down to earth guy. He's like, I have a day job and it's a pretty high stress one, but this has been fun to do in my spare time, just to knock around and try some different things and see what happens when I glue this to this and, you know, what have you. It just was, it was a process of experimentation and anybody can experiment. That was really encouraging to me because it's that big stuff that really just like starry eyes me. It's like, how do you do this? And I'm short, so it also doesn't help. I think I'm more intimidated by the, he's going to do a D.Va costume, by the way.
Oh, cool.
Which I got to say, I've been playing with the idea, but I don't even, I wouldn't even know where to start. But I'm more intimidated by the detail and just the intricacy of pieces. I think I just get overwhelmed by the amount of time that I know that kind of thing takes. But then again, being able just to do something over and over and over again and then just have an amazing outcome is not really as overwhelming once you break it down into little pieces. So yeah, it's just one of those things. It's practice and it's a little bit of time, and everybody has got, you know, time to some extent or another, you know, like I know I generalize, but there's free time every once in a while. Like I was knocking together my costume when I found out that I was able to go after all. I was knocking it out on my lunch break at work, tracing pieces for 10 minutes. I mean, like I was surprised how quick the time flew. But you know, just little bits here and there, and it really does chunk it down into a much more manageable concept or process even.
And so the man was a nursing student. If a nursing student can find time to do it, anybody can find time to do it.
He might even actually been working as one already, but
wow.
Yeah, it's amazing. Like I can't even imagine. Like I know that I feel sometimes I feel pressed for time, but I like even beyond work, having to take work home with me like that. Yeah, free time is a thing.
Right? Free time is definitely a thing. Though if you want to do a D.Va costume, I guess you could always do the one from her spray where she does the cardboard box version.
Oh yeah, the little the Halloween one.
Yeah.
There were a couple of those I did see walking around, the Halloween costume versions. And I got to say, because that was a month long thing after they released that, you had a month to be able to knock out Witch Mercy, which I saw like 3 of those. Like, come on, guys.
I'm like, wow, how did that? And the fact that they already had a paid cosplayer there for Sombra when they announced her, I was like, dang, they're just on top of this.
Yeah, how could you not? I mean, they were really like anything less than I would have been, you know, like pretty supremely disappointed. Like Blizzard, I have a certain expectation of what Blizzard should be putting out there. And I was like, yeah, okay, good. You met my expectations. And the cosplayer was fabulous, but like you had to have a Sombra cosplayer and there's just no. I mean, they had him Widowmaker and a Reaper, I believe, at the BlizzCon where they did announce Overwatch. You know, I was kind of expecting similar. So I was happy not to be disappointed, I suppose.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about the event itself, because it's not just about cosplay, even though it makes up a big portion of it. It's all about the Blizzard IPs and the gaming and all the great stuff that they announce and they drop. As a whole, would you recommend this convention to any gamer, or do you think it's just specifically best for those who are Blizzard fans?
There is definitely a cult of Blizzard fandom at the BlizzCon. I don't know if you heard about how poor Thomas Middleditch, our host for the talent contest, fared. I thought my husband and I thought he was hilarious. We can take a little bit of humor, but there's definitely a cult of identity when it comes to the Blizzard franchises. People have grown up and just lived by these. Now that being said, I would, if you are in town, if you've got a little bit of spare cash and want to experience an event like this, you would be able to go in and see the culture of Blizzard and Blizzard fandoms at its best, really. So if that's something that interests you as a gamer, if you have any sort of experience or playtime in any Blizzard game, I mean, from the esports section, the competitions they had for, I think, all the games. I mean, the stage for StarCraft. I thought StarCraft was kind of waning in popularity, but oh my gosh, the stage there! Holy cow! It's just a celebration of lore and just fantasy, really. Probably my favorite part, honestly, and I'm so glad that I was in costume for this. There was a tavern, I believe. I don't remember what the tavern was called, but the tavern upstairs, and they served drinks and had a live band. Everybody's walking around, you know, like there are a lot of people in costume, some people aren't, and it was just like stepping into a game. Or your favorite game, and just looking around and seeing all the characters that you recognize. It's a trip. That's probably one of my biggest takeaways. One of my biggest memories from there is stepping into and just milling about, not even for long, because I don't drink. Just the atmosphere with like the band playing was what made it for me. It was just right and very Blizzard quality. And then the stages, like I was saying, StarCraft was great. The Hearthstone stage with the roaring fire and all the props and stuff like that. It's not like anything I've ever, you know, seen on like maybe League of Legends, for instance, where, you know, like lots of lights and flashing sounds and grandeur, very modern, but the way the BlizzCon is so true to its IPs really brings the experience home when you're there and in the space. I think my only complaint about this particular event this year was that it was a little underwhelming content-wise. Like, Sombra was cool. It was kind of spoiled a little bit. But beyond, you know, any sort of great new announcement or anything, you know, a new expansion of Hearthstone, that's cool. Wow. But nothing that, you know, blew me away. And I guess that happens. That's just the natural life cycle of a game producer, but a publisher. So it was just happened to be an off year. Next year isn't going to be knockdown, drag out, just amazing.
Yeah, probably next year is when they're going to drop their new IP or like a new expansion or a new something.
Yeah, they've got something up their sleeve. So, you know, they tried, they did what they could. I know that for Diablo, there was the 20th anniversary, and that was what I was there for. You know, I was slightly disappointed by, I was kind of hoping when they said they were going to bring Diablo 1 back into Diablo 3, I was thinking, I was going to take my character and plug him straight into like the tile sets and all of that stuff. Whereas what ended up happening was they kind of, they took the tile sets and the design of Diablo 3 and just kind of grained it down a little. And I was like, that wasn't what I expected, but I guess it's better than nothing. So,
upgrade.
Upgrade question mark. So yeah, it's just part of the natural life cycle, I think, of the game publisher, and yeah, it is what it is. I'm glad I went regardless. Still lots of things to see, people to see, talent to absorb, and to mark for later, certainly.
Definitely. Yeah. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about your costume, because you showed us progress on it over the summer, and then we posted a photo of it when you were actually at BlizzCon. So we have photos of the final piece. Is it actually finished, or are you still like tweaking it?
Well, I think what I need to do just mentally is I think I'm going to step away from it after this. I was able to, so basically, okay, starting from the beginning, I put this costume together, Ariel from Diablo, the Diablo franchise. I put it together using some just sketch art from the Book of Cain. You can see it if you just do a Google image search. Some of the in-game photos of the 3D model. I think there was even just a 3D modeler just, you know, laid out, you know, Westworld style, you know, that I could go from. And the kind of grainy, not great quality. So I kind of had to make some, I had to fill in some gaps and just kind of make up some stuff as I went along, just trying to get this to actually sit on a person and not on a digital, you know, model. Then, so my first version, which I don't know if you've seen it on my Twitter and I can repost it again, where I'm posing in the back section of my last apartment. Is the first, it was that completed version. Now, the Ariel that I tried to bring to BlizzCon, or at least, you know, update enough in the time that I had when I found out, is a combination of that. And they had released Ariel's Heroes of the Storm body. So mm-hmm. I had a whole new, just absolutely crystal clear, detailed gameplay, cinematic footage of this character that I got to go into. It's like, that's what that is. Oh, I couldn't figure out what that one stroke was. I'm guessing, you know, I had to guess here and there. Whereas here I could go, oh, okay, this is what they're trying to do here. I can do that. That's something that I can recreate and not have to imagine from scratch. So that's basically, I started from the ground up actually, because the boots I had created were like version like 4.3 at the time. still were too big. I could barely walk in them. So I had to scrap those. I had to start those first. Otherwise there was not going to be walking
right
at the contest. And I figured that was a vital part of the experience. So I started with those and then just kind of went from, like I said, the bottom up, got to the skirt because my other skirt was a little skimpy. I didn't like having, I mean, I had my yoga pants on, but yoga pants butt is not something I want hanging out at the BlizzCon. So I made sure to recraft that as well. And I've actually got it right. Oh, so here's the old version, actually. I've got.
It's show and tell time.
Yay. So this, okay, I might have to back up just a hair. All right, so this is skirt number one. It's a little bit short, but this comes out. Oh my, actually, I'm glued down. That's okay. Whereas skirt two, and now that was the original Ariel that I tried to take inspiration. Now this one is Heroes of the Storm version with a nice long trail that covers my butt very nicely. I have a little rose petal pleats here.
Nice.
And then a little bit more coverage in the front.
Okay. Oh, there you go.
There we go. And I learned that magnets are not maybe the greatest attachment thing, but you can see it's just a little bit more coverage, a little bit less flimsy after trying a couple of attempts at getting the skirt to actually stay on a person. That's what I came up with. I've got, while I'm doing show and tell, I've got part of my boot, nice little kneecap here, a little bit of a wing. Here I go.
Nice.
Hey, webcam. Layers.
Hi, webcam.
I decided that layers are my new favorite thing.
Aren't they?
I can cut 30 layers of foam and it looks like I've done all sorts of detailing work. I don't have to worry about sculpting with clay. I can just, all I have to do is draw a pretty picture and cut out all of those trimmings. And oh, look, I've got pattern pieces.
Exactly.
So it worked out all right. I was pretty stoked with how it turned out. I mean, I would have loved to do a little bit more color, but like I was rushing this thing. I was just glad to have boots to walk in and the skirt that covered my butt. So I was one happy camper. Certainly.
They say, yeah, it turned out really, really cool looking. I was like, oh my goodness, yay, she got it done in time.
Yeah, thank thank you so much. I was certainly pleased with the way it came out. I was walking around and every time I'd walk by like a window or something, I'd have to check myself out naturally.
Of course.
So I'm like, oh, hey, it looks like it's supposed to. Oh my gosh. So, you know, I had a couple people walk up to me like, we're so glad we haven't seen any, you know, or too much of the Diablo franchise. And here's, they said Tyrael. And I was like, I have to correct you there, but close enough.
Close enough. We'll take it. We'll take it.
I'll take it. I will definitely take it. You got the right, you got the gist of it. And thanks for coming up and saying hi. And whenever, you know, you hear people, you know, ask, oh, is it okay to talk? You know, whatever. It totally is. For the most part, it totally is. I was falling over myself, you know, telling them way too much information about, you know, like the drama and the anxiety of getting this whole thing done over the space of, years. But, you know, it's nice to share. It's nice to share that fandom, that experience, and be able to encourage people like, I could do this. You can do it too. Just like the rest, like the Archon guy I was telling you about with the gigantic contraption he had. This is like all I did was just throw stuff together until it worked. You know, I finally got an idea of how actually things work when you glue them together like this, or stick X to Y or whatever. And after just making some mistakes, voila, it's a thing. So. That experience, I gotta say, and being able to wear it around to a convention, like I've worn clothes that I've sewn to a convention before, and that was pretty par for the course. But foam armor was just whoa! Like my skirt kept falling off. Like luckily it was easy enough just to snap back on, but I had to make a point not to bend a certain way or twist suddenly. But I could sit. And it was easy to go to the bathroom. So I think I succeeded with practicality there. So I was able to check off a lot of boxes, and then I had to circle some stuff in red for next time. But isn't that just human experience, is learning a little bit from your experiences? So.
Exactly. And that's always how it is with cosplay, especially the first time you ever wear one out, even if it's armor, particularly if it's anything armor related or foam related, guaranteed something's going to go wrong and you'll know, okay, this is what I have to fix for next time.
Yeah. Oh, and then in that vein, they had did have a cosplay repair station, so definitely appreciate it. Thank you, BlizzCon. But then they also had, and I set down her card somewhere, and now I feel so bad because she had her little treasure chest of cosplay repairs she was toting around and was handing out little cards. And I was like, you know what? That's really cool. What a way to support the community and participate, you know, while being a productive sounds very sterile, like a very sterile word, but contributing.
Yeah.
That's really encouraging. We got each other's backs here in the cosplay community and gaming in general, I think.
So, exactly.
as long as you're not duking it out on the internet or anything. So.
All right. So final thoughts, yay or nay on future BlizzCons.
Oh yeah. Oh man. If I can make it, are you kidding? I was gushing on the flight home. I was like, I want to make this costume. And then the second day I'm going to make this costume. And then, you know, X, Y, and Z. And I wonder if I could get this together. I wonder if you could help me with this. And, you know, of course my husband's really great about being just, you know, solid. It's like, okay, you got to pick one. You're never going to get anything done. So lots of great plans for the future. Lots of, you know, having an expectation of what physically foam, strapping, Velcro, elastic, magnets can and cannot physically do. And then just, you know, of course, being the center of attention sometimes, getting the photos taken, getting the kudos, like, hey, nice job. I like that. I appreciate this thing that you have spent time to create. Like, it did really make it all worth it. All of like literally the blood, sweat, and tears that went into this costume. You know, it's like, that was cool. Very satisfying as an experience from a cosplayer's point of view. But as an artist, as a fan in a community, you know, whether or not you, I mean, if you haven't had any experience with any Blizzard games, I think it would be kind of tough to bridge the gap, but to kind of immerse yourself in that kind of culture, if you haven't, I think provides a totally different context for what it means to be a gamer, to be a fan, you know, to be a competitor even. So yeah, pretty much anybody, if you have any sort of, I don't know if I'd recommend it to my parents necessarily, but But if you have any sort of, appreciation for video games, for gaming in general, even if you're like a tabletop gamer, fantasy epic, it's an experience that you really can't find many other places. You can get sort of close with Renaissance fairs. You can get close with, if you were to go to some of the esports events that have been just constant, constantly popping up and more and more popular. I can't believe it. Mm-hmm. It's something that I haven't seen personally the likes of, really. So I certainly recommend it for pretty much everybody who is willing to bear the crowds, put themselves in an uncomfortable situation with people they don't really know, and just kind of learn something new about people, you know?
All right. Well, there you have it. BlizzCon in a nutshell. Go check it out. Thank you so much, Catherine.
Not at all. Anytime.
And welcome back. Big thank you to Catherine for sharing that review with us.
Her costume looks so awesome. I'm really glad that she chose to share a couple of pieces with us. She showed us like version 1 and like here's version 4.1.
All right. With that, an end to this episode. However, before we go, I would like to invite you guys, if you have any last minute suggestions for our montage, next episode is going to be our end of year episode, which is the one where we show you guys a montage of the video escapades from the last year, aka y'all's favorite moments from the last year's worth of episodes. So if you guys have suggestions, please do send those in to us. Probably only have maybe a week by the time this drops to send those in so that we have sufficient time to edit them.
Val knows what she'll be doing over Christmas, and that's probably editing.
Yes. And this will be the end of our fifth year
of broadcasting.
Dude, isn't that insane?
We've been doing this for too damn long. Like, what the fudge?
We're still going to be doing it next year.
I know. I know. We got to hit at least episode 200 before we call it quits. That's when most TV shows end.
So, as always, if you guys have comments, questions, concerns, compliments, constructive criticism, or anything else you would like to send us, our email address is podcast@crosspod.org. Yes, Val. Yes, our social media is all here. Contact us.
All of these places. I'm Vanna Whiting it.
Yes, we do enjoy it when you guys share the show. So please do share the show and the link to our pages to your friends. We will thank you very much for listening to and downloading the show. With that, we will call an end to this episode 130 of Cosplay the Podcast for all things cosplay. We will see you guys next episode. Happy holidays to those who celebrate them. Happy summer to our friends in the Southern Hemisphere. See you next time. Bye, guys.
Bye, kids.